So Joshua chapter 6, I'm going to read verses 1 to 14 with you, and then right at the end we'll do verses 15, 16, and verse 20. Now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out, no one came in. And then the Lord said to Joshua, really important verse, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the army will go up, everyone straight in. Actually, that's the whole chapter 6. What's happening now is just Joshua, or the writer who wrote Joshua, giving us a little bit of more information, but that's actually the story. So, Joshua, the son of Nun, he's the only guy who had no parents, right? Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priest and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and have 7 priests carry trumpets in front of it. And he ordered the army, advance, march around the city with an armed guard going ahead of the Ark of the Lord. When Joshua had spoken to the people, the 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets before the Lord went forward, blowing their trumpets, and the Ark of the Lord's Covenant followed them. The armed guard marched ahead of the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard followed the Ark. All this time the trumpets were sounding, but Joshua had commanded the army, do not give a war cry, do not raise your voices, do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout, and then shout. So he had the Ark of the Lord carried around the city, circling it once. Then the army returned to the camp and spent the night there. Joshua got up early the next morning, and the priests took up the Ark of the Lord. The 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets went forward, marching before the Ark of the Lord, blowing the trumpets. The armed men went ahead of them, and the rear guard followed the Ark of the Lord, while the trumpets kept sounding. So on the 2nd day, they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. They did this for 6 days. Let's stop there for a second. So the Israelites have now crossed the River Jordan. Behind them is the wilderness and wilderness life. Life of struggle, life of disobedience, life of not knowing where they're going, life of rejecting God often and not trusting in God's promises. That's on the other side of the river. They're on the other side. Ahead of them lies the promised land. But before they would inherit the promised land, they would have to face a few strongholds. And right in front of them was the first one, called Jericho. There's a slide for this. Jericho was a fortress. It was actually surrounded by 2 walls, an inner wall and an outer wall. These walls, their width was approximately between 2 and 3 meters wide. That's thick. Approximately 10 to 15 meters high. Humongous walls. On the north side, there was a citadel where they had all kinds of armed people protecting the gates. All around the walls, they had these guard towers. On the east side of the city was a forest which made it really, really difficult for any army to come through. On the west side of the city was the mountains. If you go to Jericho, you'll see those beautiful mountains up there. The mountains that protected them from enemy coming from that side. It was a fortress that was nearly impenetrable. The people of Jericho were fierce warriors. Many times armies came and tried to siege and siege the city, and they failed. That's until Joshua and God's people arrived on the scene. On that day, bricks would crack, the walls would crumble, and the soldiers would tremble in fear. And that stronghold called Jericho, the walls of Jericho would come tumbling down. It's something that we need to hold in our minds from the beginning, because this is important for us as we talk about how we break our strongholds. Number one, Joshua was not the one who brought the walls down. Number two, it was not the soldiers of Israel that were these good warriors that stormed the gates and broke the gates and opened the city. The walls of Jericho came tumbling down because God himself brought down the walls. God brought down the stronghold for them. And here's the thing. God will do that for you and me. Whatever the strongholds in your life might be that are preventing you, like Jericho, from entering into God's promised land for you, that place that God has made for you, where you can be what God intended you to be, that place where you can live in peace and find God's peace and joy and rest in your life. Let's start trying to push you back like Jericho. Go back over the river. Let's go back to the wilderness. Maybe that's our place. Whatever that stronghold might be fear. It just has you. Or anger. You just can't break the hold. Or maybe feelings of insecurity, negativity, anxiety. I don't know. Whatever these strongholds are that are preventing you to live in your promised land where God's peace, joy, and God's presence is, God says, I can break them down for you. But before we can enter that promised land, my friends, you and I are going to stand before our own Jericho. And we have to break those walls. And I'm the first one that says to you, that's not easy to do. Because the problem is, I often try and do that on my own. So how do the walls come down? Let me try and unpack that with you. I'm going to take you right back to Joshua 1. Chapter 1, verse 11. Very important verse. God says to Joshua, take these people, lead them across the river so that they can possess this land that I am giving them. And you remember the first one in the series was, I can, because God gives the land. But today I want to have you focus on that little word, possess. So that they can possess this land that I am giving you. The Hebrew word, Kimberly, how good is your Hebrew by now? For possess is the word yarash. It's a beautiful word, yarash. Yarash, when you break it down, means the following. To inhabit a place by driving out its previous inhabitants. That's what it means to possess. To go inhabit a place by driving out its previous inhabitants. That's what God says you need to do to break the strongholds. You need to get rid of those other inhabitants that are preventing you from breaking this thing down and going into your promised land. So that's where it starts. God says, I want you to go possess that which is yours. What are the things that are holding you back? And you're saying, but Lord, they're too big for me. I can't handle them. And God says, I didn't say do that alone. I said to you, verse 2 is an important verse in Joshua 6. Listen to that verse again. The Lord said to Joshua, see, in the Hebrew, hine, it means it's done. Look at it. It's already happened. So what has already happened? I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and with all of its soldiers. I have already taken care of it. get it? I've taken care of it. God doesn't say, Joshua, there's the walls, there's Jericho, they're a fierce nation. Let's see if you can do this, Joshua. Let's see if you can go take this city. No, 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 no. God says, Joshua, go receive the city that I have already taken. Do you believe that? Because that's what God says to us. God has already won the battle. The victory belongs to the Lord. So God doesn't say, Mary, John, Jacqueline, Joe, you go break those bad habits. Let's see if you can do that. God says, Mary, John, Jacqueline, Joe, I have already broken those habits for you. Go live in the blessing of my victory. Go possess that which is yours in Jesus Christ. For how and why did he die on that cross? Which stronghold in your life is stronger than the blood of my Lord Jesus? Is stronger than the promise of our Father? I have given it into your hand. Isn't that what Paul writes in Philippians chapter 4, one of my favorite passages? Rejoice in the Lord always. But there's tough stuff. There's strongholds. And we're afraid. I get that, says Paul. Rejoice. Paul. Yes. Because you don't have to do it on your own. Through prayer and petition and with thanksgiving, receive the gifts that God has already given to you. Because you don't have to do it alone. Verse 13, because I can do all things through Christ. Gives me strength. Let's go break some strongholds. Don't allow them to imprison you. Don't allow them to rob you of the inheritance that God has bought for you in Jesus Christ. Someone wrote beautifully. He says, stop living your circumstances and live your inheritance. How do we live? Inheritance or circumstances? What are the things that prevent us from living our inheritance? It's those things called strongholds. Can I tell you something about a stronghold? I'm going to read you a passage from 2 Corinthians 10 in a second. 2 Corinthians 10, Paul says, we fight against this world in a different way because we have God's power. And through God's power, we can overcome. And he uses the word strongholds. And the Greek word again. Cassidy, Kimberly, how's your Greek? Beautiful word in the Greek. Ochuroma is the Greek word for stronghold. When you go look up the word ochuroma in Greek, do you know what it says? A false argument that denies God's promises. That's what a stronghold is. A false argument, a lie that denies God's promises. Let's break those strongholds, my friends. They're false arguments. Is there a stronghold that's got hold of you that lets you see only the walls of Jericho? That lets you speak the language of impossibility? Oh, God can't forgive my sins. There's the stronghold of guilt, but it's a lie. It's a false argument, because what is God's promise? There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, to name but one. I have taken your sins and I've thrown them as deep as the deepest of the oceans. And I never see them again. There's the promise. What's the stronghold? Guilt. Oh, God can never love me. There's the stronghold of rejection. But it's a false argument. Because God says, I made you my children through Jesus Christ and through the Holy Spirit of God. We can cry to our Father, Father, loving Father. There's the promise. Oh, my life is just tough and bad and hard. There's the stronghold of self-pity. It's a lie. It's a false argument. The truth, God's promise is, you are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. See, that's the problem with strongholds. They suck the life out of us. But God's promises is a promise of peace and joy and God's presence and grace. What are we going to live? Our circumstances? Or our inheritance? But how do we do this? How do we do this? We do this by placing God in the center. And let me explain that. This is so beautiful. I'm going to take you back to Joshua 6. So when God says to Joshua, prepare the people to walk around the walls, how does Joshua set this up? Did you notice that? Verse 9, verse 13, we'll show that to you again. How does he set them up? There were soldiers in the front. And then the priests who blew the trumpets, and those carrying the Ark of the Covenant, and then behind them soldiers again. What's in the center? The Ark of the Covenant. What did we say last week? What is the Ark of the Covenant the symbol of? The symbol of God's presence among his people. Who is in the center of those walking around? God is in the center. How do we break the strongholds? By placing God in the center. We don't go at the walls of Jericho pointing fingers. We don't go at the walls of Jericho with anger. We don't go at the walls of Jericho with bitterness or anxiety. We place God in the center. We hold on to God's power. And we walk. That's what Paul writes, and I said I'd bring you back to that. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm going to read verse 3 and 4. Ted only has 4 because that's all I told him to put up there. Paul says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. How does the world wage war? In their own power, in their own strength, with anger, with bitterness, with anxiety, with all this stuff. That's how, Paul says, we don't. So what do? The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, our weapons have divine power to do what? To demolish the false arguments that deny God's promises called ochroma or strongholds. That's it. We walk in God's power. And we put God in the center, and that's how we break the walls of the strongholds. 6 days they walked. Can you imagine those people of Jericho sitting on the walls? What in the world is this? Maybe on the second, third day they start throwing stuff at them, mocking them. Hey, you Israelites, what do you think you're going to do? You can't touch us. Look at you, poor little people blowing your horns and carrying that thing. And they walk. And they walk. And they walk. Not saying a word. Only the trumpets blow. And maybe you're saying, yeah, I can identify with that because maybe I've been walking around one of my strongholds for an awful long time. Did you see something? God told Joshua it's going to be 7 days. Joshua never told the people it's going to be 7 days. Sometimes God doesn't tell us how long it's going to take for that stronghold to fall. All God says, put me in the center. hold on to my power, and walk. We need to keep on walking. For as we walk, and we put God in the center, today might just be the day that the walls will come down. We might be one step away from this beautiful moment that Joshua shares with us in verse 15, 16, and 20. On the seventh day, they got up at daybreak, marched around the city seven times in the same manner, except that on that day they circled the city seven times. The seventh time around, when the priest sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the army, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. For the Lord has given you the city. For the Lord has given you the city." Verse 20. When the trumpet sounded, the army shouted, and at the sound of the trumpet, when the men gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. So everyone charged straight in, and they took the city. Put God in the center. Hold on to God's presence, and keep on walking. For the Lord will give the strength in your hands, so that we can possess our inheritance that God has given in Jesus Christ. Do not believe the false arguments, for they come from the mouth of the biggest liar. Believe. Take a few moments of silent prayer. Thank you, Lord. We sang it this morning. Great is your faithfulness. And those walls, Lord, sometimes they look really huge, maybe more than 10 meters high. And those voices that yell at us, they yell all those false arguments, sometimes are so loud. Let us hear the trumpets as they blow, reminding us of who is the Lord. Who is the one that is in the center of our lives? Who is the one that we keep our eyes on? Thank you that you have overcome the strongholds. Help us then, Lord, to go live our inheritance and not allow these strongholds to rob us of what you have given. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that is in us and with us and walks the walk with us. Some days it's hard, Lord, we have to be honest. Some days we kind of wish it's the seventh day and we've done round number seven and the walls are down.